One day when Jesus was praying in seclusion and his disciples were with him, he put this question to them. Who do the crowds say I am? John the Baptizer, they replied. And some say Elijah, while others claim that one of the other prophets of old has returned from the dead. But you, who do you say I am? Peter said in reply, the Messiah of God. He strictly forbade them to tell this to anyone. The Son of Man, he said, must first endure many sufferings, be rejected by the elders, the high priests, and the scribes, and be put to death, and then be raised up on the third day. Jesus said to all, whoever wishes to be my follower must deny his very self, take up the cross each day, and follow in my steps. Whoever would save his or her life will lose it. Whoever loses life for my sake will save it. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I was a sophomore in high school, and my brother Jack got me a job working as an office boy after school. And in the course of my carrying out my task, I got to know a woman who worked in that building. She seemed to be very interested in talking to me, in spite of my youth and her age. She was as old as my mother. As it turned out, in fact, an acquaintance of my mother's from way back before I was born. And the exchange was fascinating because this woman, as old as my mother, talked to me almost as though I were her contemporary. She didn't just talk. To put it bluntly, she unloaded on me all her problems and frustrations. I got to know what a sad life she had. If she painted the picture accurately, her husband wasn't worth much more than a piece of furniture. He was usually sitting on one, doing nothing, wouldn't fill the furnace, wouldn't carry out the garbage, just existing. And her only child, a daughter, was probably a world-class ingrate. Didn't appreciate all her mother had done for her, and woe was her to have to live with all of this. I admit at the time, it did seem odd to me that someone that age would be so open, looking for consolation from someone so young. But you might say in my adolescent mind, she redeemed herself because she paid my mother such a marvelous tribute. Turned out, as she told it, she used to live in the apartment across the alley from where my family lived before I was ever born. My mother already had many children. I was, as most of you know, the 12th of her 13. So she was already somewhat celebrated as mother of many before I came into the picture. And this woman really touched my heart, describing what she had witnessed. She said, your mother used to not only raise the children and take care of the house, but whenever they needed a dishwasher or a waitress who didn't show up, or even a bartender, your mother went down to help your dad at their restaurant. You can understand my father getting into the restaurant business with that many mouths to feed. She said, your mother would have a day three times as full as anyone else's. And I would be sitting there in my kitchen with the light off in my rocking chair, looking over through the window into your mother's kitchen. And sometimes 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning, she'd come back from working at the restaurant, set up the ironing board, bring out the baskets of clothes, and be ironing clothes for all the children. She was an inspiration. What a woman. Well, needless to say, I went home and shared all this with my mother. And when I told her the first part about this poor lady's cross that she bore, my mother said, how odd. First, that she's telling it to you. But secondly, that she should be having so many problems, because over the years, she was one of the people who took it upon herself to tell me I was a fool for having so many children. Well, God's will is strange, my mother said. Looks like she's having more trouble with her one than I've had with my 13. I was set back a bit by that, but I went on to tell her, but she's a beautiful lady, Mom. Wait till I tell you what she said about you. And I told her, probably even with tears in my eyes, like I was talking right to a saint. And I got all through describing this vision from the apartment across the way, this woman watching her at her toil at the wee hours of the day. When I got all through, my mother put her hands on her hips and she said, do you mean to tell me? Back in those days, she was sitting there watching and never came over to help. Well, that story, that true story came to mind because we as a parish have chosen this weekend to commit ourselves or recommit ourselves. If we are relatively new to the parish, to enter more deeply into the life of this parish as a ministering, serving community, serving each other with a sacred sense of vocation, exercising ministries that were given to us in baptism and deepened in confirmation, nourished, please God, over and over again at the Eucharistic celebration. As a parish, we decided to call this Commitment or Ministry Sunday, and to challenge everyone in the parish to ask himself or herself, to what extent am I nourished by the Word, renewed by the celebration? To what extent am I carrying that light, that love, that life to others in this community and beyond? Have I accepted the responsibility to be specifically a minister in this community? Now, having made that plan, the parish leaders might have said, Father, pick out three good scripture readings that will fit that theme, and by way of exception, that Sunday, use those scripture readings for the liturgy. One would come almost immediately to mind, but we just used it a week or two ago. We are all members of the body of Christ. The eye can't do the work of the hand, nor the foot the work of the mouth, and so forth and so on. But there was no need to choose special readings. Look at the readings we've been given. In the first one, it says, speaking of God's consecrated people who are called to ministry in the Lord, it says in the Old Testament context, the then chosen people will have God's Spirit poured out upon them, a spirit of compassion, a spirit of grace, and petition. They will be filled with the Spirit, and then they will petition the Creator on behalf of creation. And further it says, this gift of God will be, if they accept it, so intense a reality that they will have the passion of a person mourning the death of a firstborn child. They will look on him whom they have thrust through, it says. A prophetic look into the future when Jesus, who came to save and minister to us all, would be rejected by us, as he predicted would happen. But it says God's people, when they receive this grace, will be so moved by this reality of the Redeemer rejected that they will feel the passion of a family mourning the loss of its firstborn. Do we feel that kind of passion in this parish? Are you a minister passionately committed to ministry in something like that intensity? In the gospel, Jesus says, you must take up the cross every day and go my way, which is down into death first, and only then to rise. But notice the context. He says, who do those other people say I am? And the apostles are all eager. Everybody's got an answer. Oh, some think you're John the Baptist. Some say Elijah. Some say Moses come again. And then he asks that eternal, piercing, personal question. Yeah, but you, who do you say I am? Peter, God bless him, he gives the right answer. You are the Messiah. And Jesus says, hold on, Peter. Wait a minute. Don't go mouthing that all around yet. Easy to say. But get this straight, brother. Before I am fully and in every sense of the word Messiah, first, I must be rejected, ridiculed, spat upon, turned away, and put to death by the very people who should most have appreciated me. And only then will I rise up and be Messiah. Get the message, Peter. Whoever would come after me, whoever would call me Messiah, Savior, Redeemer, must take up the cross daily. The cross of self-denial, of letting go, of lying down, to be trampled upon, if necessary, in service to God's people in need. Paul in today's reading says, here's the message. You, as God's people, touched by this passionate Spirit of God, are no longer black, white, male, female, free, slave, American, Chinese. The overriding reality is you are all of Christ, sisters and brothers all, in the one great body of the Lord, which is to be returned to the Father as family, all members included. What appropriate readings for our celebration today. I think it might be helpful as we ask ourselves the questions that this liturgy raises to notice the reality of the world around us. Do we see a passion such as this scripture speaks of? I think the examples are abundant. They're all around us.